From Iowa Public Radio News, I'm Ben Kiefer. This is The Exchange. Later this week in Grundy Center, national and international representatives will meet to discuss ways to change physical education in schools. So today we talk with University of Northern Iowa alum Shelley Fole. Fole is executive director of the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports. Also, Rick Schubach, co-director of the first PE for Life Academy at an elementary school in Grundy Center. And the director of the Iowa Department of Public Health, Tom Newton. What is your most memorable story of PE back in school? How valuable was it to you? Our discussion starts right after this news. This is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Later this week, the University of Northern Iowa and the Grundy Center Community Schools will sponsor the Global Forum for Physical Education Pedagogy 2010 in Grundy Center. The event is welcoming PE experts from around the world in a program that's designed for educators, health professionals, administrators, policymakers, and citizens. It will be an opportunity to discuss the future of teaching physical education. So today we want to talk about the value of physical education in school, how it needs to be rethought and reformed. Joining us, first of all, Shelley Fole, recently appointed executive director of the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports, and a former University of Northern Iowa alum. She joins us by phone. Good afternoon to you, Shelley.
Great to be with you.
Congratulations on your recent appointment. How recent is that?
Thanks so much. Yes, and I've been here about 10 or 11 weeks now.
Uh-huh. And who appoints the executive director of the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports?
The president himself.
Very good. So you, what was that like, going to the Oval Office or somewhere else?
Well, there are a lot of layers, if you will, to it, but certainly the Office of Presidential Personnel does most of the legwork, if you will, and vetting out the different candidates and so forth. But it's been a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. I'm very humbled and excited to be part of the administration and certainly to be part of the First Lady's Let's Move campaign.
Let's talk a little bit about the Global Forum in just a moment, but tell us, what is the role of the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports?
Sure. Well, we've been around for over 50 years, since Eisenhower, and since then we've taken on different forms. But one of the things that has stayed constant is that we are a catalyst. We bring people together around our common mission of promoting good health for Americans. And we may take a focus on different demographic groups, but by and large, we are a catalyst. Many people know us from that youth fitness test, that presidential fitness test that you may have taken in school. And some people remember it fondly and some people not so much. But that's kind of what we're known for, if you will, that patch or certificate that you were challenged to go for in school.
Yes, the much, much sought-after presidential award that you could put on your denim jacket, I believe in my case it was this. The Global Forum for Physical Education Pedagogy in Grundy Center later this week, you'll be attending it. What do you hope is accomplished in this forum?
Well, it's going to be an unbelievable experience with, I know, 25 countries at least involved. And what I hope to accomplish is really to have a consensus. I think there are a lot of differences among countries. There are differences among communities within countries. But I think that there are things that we can all agree on that can and should be taking place as it relates to physical education. Mm-hmm. And specifically, of course, physical education that takes place in our schools. So I think that there'll be some common ground that is reached. And I know there's a specific emphasis on technology and what types of technology should we be bringing to our young people. And I think that will be an especially fruitful discussion.
The forum theme you just mentioned, revitalizing health and physical education through technology. So what are your thoughts on how technology can support physical education? Because in many ways, we could also blame technology, computer and video games, for making our kids lazy, right?
Sure. You're so right, Ben. And you know, that same technology that kind of allows kids to spend 7 hours plus a day in front of a screen is also technology that can be used to get them active.
And how would we do that?
We're seeing more of that with the Wii Fits, with Dance Dance Revolution, with organization companies like Hop Sports that are using video gaming and extra bikes and so forth that are really speaking the kids' language.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to engage them, if we're going to get them active and keep them active, we've got to speak their language. And the technology does that.
As you mentioned, there'll be a lot of high-level officials at this conference, this forum from around the world. How does the U.S. stack up to the rest of the world in the area of physical education and fitness in schools?
Well, it's varied. I think that certainly in some areas we may be ahead of other countries in terms of some of our offerings, if you will. And there's such a diversity of quality of physical education. So it's hard to compare, you know, one, you know, overall against another country, because we have some very good programs across our country. We have some not so good programming in physical education.
So we're all over the board.
We are all over the board, you know, and some districts, kids get physical education every day. In other districts, kids may see a PE teacher once every 2 weeks. And then, of course, we need to still talk about quality. So it's not just about how often, but it's about that quality of that physical education experience.
So coming to Iowa, can you say, and being a University of Northern Iowa alum, can you say how Iowa compares to the rest of the country?
Honestly, I'm not sure where Iowa relates in terms of score, in terms of presidential scores or testing scores, and that's another another problematic area in that we do not have one national test. You know, we have our presidential test. There's the fitness gram. There are other tests out there, and rightly so. Some of them are more health related. Some are more performance related. So one of the things that I want to do as executive director of the President's Council on Fitness is to really work and move us towards one national test. So another way technology can help us, by the way, is in the testing, in the assessment. We've got to know where kids are so we know how to help them improve. And what we know in our schools, if it's not tested, it's not taught.
Obesity is a big problem in the United States. Recently retired military leaders released a report, I'm sure you're aware of, Too
Yes.
Fat to Fight,
Yes.
saying 75% of young adults between the ages of 17 and 24 can't serve, a large portion of them, because they are overweight and obese. How do we reverse this trend, in your view?
Yeah, it's a real, you know, to me, a national security issue when we cannot you know, we cannot have young people entering the military because they're overweight and unfit. You know, I think the way we reverse it is a multitude, becomes a multitude of issues. There's not one way. And part of that is certainly to engage physical education, but it needs to be the community. And one thing that's wonderful about Grundy Center is that it's not just about the physical education program, but it's about how that program has reached into the community and how the community has in turn reached back and really become a healthy community. So it's about our transportation planning and making sure that we have bicycle and pedestrian opportunities. It's about our urban planning so that we have parks and safe playgrounds. It is about how we are siting schools so we can walk or bike to school.
Mm-hmm.
It's about our work sites. What are we doing at work sites to promote healthy lifestyles? So it is very much, you know, multifactorial, as we say. There are many factors that play in to solving this problem.
Shelley Fohl is Executive Director of the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports. You listed a number of things, but if you were king for a day and you could pick one, what is the one most important thing you think needs to happen to get children more active, less obese?
You know, I think that we all need to be part of the solution, but if I had to say one thing, I would say I want quality daily physical education back in our schools.
Mm-hmm. What has happened to our physical education, in your opinion?
What has happened is because of our focus on test scores, on science, math, English, et cetera, test scores. The focus has become so much at what those test scores are that we've taken away time from not only PE, but the other, but art and music and other important things. So what's incongruent, however, is that we know because of study after study after study that kids who are physically fit perform better academically. Mm-hmm. So if we want our test scores to go up, we need to help our kids be active and be fit. It's as simple as that.
So really, there's been a lot of research, and we've heard about it, between the mind-body connection.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we had a massive report came out about a month ago that confirmed this and that shows that that giving time during the school day to physical activity and physical education will not only not deter or be a detriment to those test scores, but will enhance them.
How much of this problem that we have, this epidemic among the youth of obesity, overweight children, how much of it is a problem related only to physical fitness in schools?
It's definitely, again, we've got to talk about nutrition. We've got to talk about stressors in kids' life and our families. And I haven't talked much about nutrition because other folks are more qualified to do that. But the bottom line is that we've got to also address nutrition and what we're feeding our kids. We cannot talk about healthy lifestyles and send the kids down the hall to a lunchroom where we're not serving healthy foods. So that is part of it, working with families to help them understand the importance of what we feed our kids and about being how we're being active with our kids and serving as role models. There are just so many factors that come into play, but I think the biggest thing to get across is that you don't have to change everything in a day. And from an individual standpoint, what is one thing that I can do as an individual or as a mother, as a father? What's one thing that I can change this week that would help our family along the right direction?
Just a few seconds left. You graduated from the University of Northern Iowa. Did you grow up in Iowa?
I did. I grew up in Dubuque. I went to Dubuque Senior High School, and as you said, then I went to University of Northern Iowa, where I majored in community health education.
So what was your favorite game during PE?
Well, I was fortunate to have a little bit of athletic skills, so really softball and volleyball were my favorite. But certainly now it is more about lifetime activities and walking and cycling and swimming and things like that. So, and those are more of the things, in my opinion, that we need to be teaching in our physical education classes.
Thank you very much, Shelley Fohl, for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Executive Director of the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports, recently appointed by President Obama. When we come back, we'll talk to a PE teacher at Grundy Center Elementary and learn more about how we can rethink and reform physical education. This is The Exchange. And we're back with The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Later this week, the University of Northern Iowa will sponsor, along with Grundy Center Community Schools, the Global Forum for Physical Education Pedagogy 2010 in Grundy Center. So today we're talking about the value of phys ed in school and how it needs to be rethought, reformed. And we'd like to have you join our conversation. Think back to PE when you were in a school. Tell us a memorable moment from PE class. What did you find valuable in PE? What wasn't valuable to you? What changes would you suggest? 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100, or email us, theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. Joining us now, Rick Schubach. He is a phys ed teacher at Grundy Center Elementary, also co-director of that school's first PE for Life Academy. And I understand, Rick, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you very much. And on behalf of all the PE teachers across Iowa, I'm very honored to be on the show.
Rick, now, this PE for Life Academy at your elementary school is a first, isn't it? It's unique.
Yes, in 2003, we were identified as the first elementary PE for Life Academy in the nation, and as a result, we've been able to host numerous cadres of people from around the nation, whether it be administrators, school board members, physical education teachers, healthcare professionals, and parents, as they come in and try to learn how to better serve their student population and their community as far as physical activity and fitness.
What exactly is a PE for Life Academy? What's happening at your elementary school that others don't have yet?
Well, one of the things that we do is that we do have everyday physical education for our children. That's one thing that we offer. We've really made a commitment here, and I'm so thankful to work for a school district that believes in the healthy mind, healthy body connection, and sees the importance of that in this time of the stressing of academics only. Basically, I consider physical education academics. I just consider it academics on the move. And you know, that's one of the things that we do, and we do integrate the technology to a large extent, and I think that's the thing that we're probably most recognized for, and hence that's why the emphasis is on that in the upcoming conference. But we also, I think, and Shelley talked to this very well, and that is one of the things that we have done is basically take our fitness center and instead of hoarding that equipment just for our youth, in a small town like this in Iowa, where do our adults and our community members get an opportunity to address their fitness needs? And we really looked at taking physical education outside the walls of the gymnasium and into our community and provide a gift for our community, a gift of the heart, and that is the equipment and resources that we have, and provide it to our community members for all the positive things that they do in support of our school district.
So, for instance, how do you get that outside of your walls? What are you bringing outside to the community?
Actually, we have our YMCA. We are a partner with the Waterloo YMCA. We're a storefront YMCA for them. And we have a YMCA that's located right within the school building and our fitness center, which our high school kids and middle school kids use during the school day, is open for our community members starting at 4:30 in the morning till 8 o'clock. And then after school, it's open till 8 o'clock at night. And then it's also open on weekends. And so our community members have an opportunity, and we have over 200 of them that are actually members of the YMCA, and they have the access to the fitness room and the workout facility, and we do have a state-of-the-art futuristic workout facility. In addition to that, we provide adult programming, fitness classes, and different types of programming, not just for our youth but also for our adult community members.
Mm-hmm. What do you feel is the key to motivating youth kids to move around? To get some activity?
Well, I tell you, Shelley really talked on and touched on a number of the real hot buttons. And I think first and foremost, this is a gadget society. We have kids that are so used to the technology, and what we have to do is engage them and get into their quality world. And one of the ways in which I think we can do that is introduce the technology to them in a creative and different way, and in doing that, we can level the playing field for all students. You know, she spoke to the fact that she was a really good softball player and volleyball player. Well, we only have 3% of our adult population after the age of 24 that engages in team sports in order to gain in their fitness and activity levels. So what we have to do is rework and change the way we're offering our physical education opportunities for students. And as she was saying, it needs to be more geared toward helping to energize and educate them for healthy, active lifestyles, not through games and sports per se, but in creative and different ways using fitness and technology opportunities.
Mm-hmm. When you say not through games or sports, I'm thinking that's what physical education is, as I remember it in school, dodgeball and whatnot. But you're saying you're looking at activities that people can use well into their adulthood.
Absolutely, and I think at the elementary level, obviously, we have to work on fundamental skills, and we still do that, and we're still involved in trying to promote skill acquisition for our youth. We don't want them to be victims inside of their own bodies throughout their life, and we know that the more skilled they are, the more likely they are to be engaged and active. So we have that fundamental foundation that we try to build. But as we move up through middle school and high school, you know, we have opportunities for our students and in the form of athletics. And I don't look for physical education to be a feeder program for those. For example, I'm the golf coach. I run my own golf program in the summertime for my youth, and that's what varsity coaches and people of that nature can be doing for their kids if they want them to increase their skill level there. But what we want to do is provide and level the playing field for all students and provide every student the chance to create the climate for success for everyone. Mm-hmm. And we all have that, you know, we have that visual in our mind of kids in the past that were the wallflowers that hung by the side that didn't have the athletic prowess, and as a result, they were basically left at the side and discarded. And we just can't have that philosophy any longer in our physical education classes.
So in our thinking about physical education in the past, what were the key mistakes that we made that we're trying to correct now, that you're trying to correct with this innovative program?
Right. I think that the key back then, again, was that we were all about trying to create athletes and really try to create students with this skill. And as a result, we categorized kids. And there was a pecking order there. You know, I don't think it is any different than what we did with reading groups, you know, the blackbirds and the bluebirds, et cetera. And there was a pecking order that was seen there. And what we have to do is meet the kids where their needs are. For example, in my past life, you know, I've been teaching 27 years. Kids could have been being asked to jog in the past, and if somebody was walking, I would have simply said, "You're not working hard enough." Why? Because I was just guessing. I was using my own perception of how hard they were working. Today, I can use a heart rate monitor, accurate within one beat of an EKG. I can have it on there, and have it on that student. And when they choose to walk, it's because their heart rate monitor, their own individual heart rate, is telling them that they're at an elevated state, and that's what they should be doing. So we can use that as an IEP, an individual exercise prescription plan, an IEP for that student to really individualize and really teach them the science of education and of physical education at a very young age and help them to learn those skills to exercise at the correct intensity level.
So by seeing their own heart rate, does that motivate them, do you find?
Well, there's a couple of factors there, Ben, and that's a great question. I guess if you hold kids more accountable, sometimes they don't like that. But we're here to meet the student's needs and not necessarily their wants. And what we have to do is take the guessing out of assessing, and we have to educate those students, make them aware, to create the change and growth in them. How do students really know what their exercise intensity level is, what is the correct level for them, unless we educate them? And again, we can't come down to me as looking out over my students, 20-some students at a time, and start to say, well, you worked hard today, you didn't. If we're truly going to help kids to understand what exercise intensity they need to work at a moderate to vigorous zone, we need to teach them that skill, and we have to use the latest and greatest technology in order to do that, because our kids deserve it.
Very good. We'll have to leave it there. Rick Schubach, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure.
Rick Schubach is a physical education teacher at Grundy Center Elementary, also co-director of the first PE for Life Academy at that elementary school. And when we come back, we'll continue to talk about rethinking, reforming physical education. Think back to PE when you were in a school and tell us a memorable moment from your PE class. How much did you find valuable? How much wasn't of much use? And what changes do you suggest in terms of the type of activities? 1-866-780-9100 is our toll-free number, 1-866-780-9100. You can also email us, theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. And when we return, we'll be joined by the director of the Iowa Department of Public Health, Tom Newton. This is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. We'll be back in just a few minutes. And we're back with The Exchange. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thank you for joining us over the noon hour. Think back to your physical education class when you were in school and tell us about a memorable moment from a PE class. What changes might you suggest? What did you find valuable? What parts of PE weren't of much use to you? And what do you carry on into adulthood? 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. Or email us, theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. Later this week, the University of Northern Iowa and the Grundy Center Community Schools are sponsoring the Global Forum for Physical Education Pedagogy 2010 in Grundy Center. Experts in physical education from around the world coming to Grundy Center on Thursday and Friday. So today, we're talking about the value of physical education in school, how it needs to be rethought, reformed, And joining us now, Tom Newton. He's director of the Iowa Department of Public Health from the Iowa Public Radio Studios in Des Moines. Good afternoon to you, Tom. Tom, are you with us? Yes, I hear you. Tom, do you hear me?
Okay. Yes, I can hear you now.
Very good. Tom, welcome to our program.
Thank you, sir. It's a pleasure to be here, Ben.
You'll be attending the upcoming forum in Grundy Center. What do you hope this forum will accomplish?
Well, I hope it begins to highlight the need for physical education. There are so many pressures placed upon schools nowadays that physical education is often one of those areas that is identified for reductions or cuts and is viewed as not being as necessary as the other parts of the educational system. And consequently, that doesn't set us up well when we look at it from a public health perspective. We have significant challenges in this country, and I dare say across the world, as it relates to obesity. And, we know today's children are predicted to live shorter lives than their parents, the first generation ever to have that be the case. And if that isn't a call to action, I don't know what is, and certainly the schools and physical education have to play a part in helping us to address that challenge.
Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, between 1990, according to the statistics that I have, between 1990 and 2002, obesity rates among adults in Iowa increased by 79%. The National Center for Health Statistics indicates the percentage of children who are overweight has more than doubled since 1980. Who or what is to blame?
Well, I don't think there's one single issue that is to blame. This is a this is a very complex problem, and it's probably going to take a multifaceted approach to begin to address it. We know it's for years and years, I think obesity was viewed as an individual problem. It's a problem that individuals weren't getting enough exercise, they were eating too much, they just weren't taking care of themselves. But when I begin to look at the data and I see that over 60% of adults are either overweight or obese, you gave some numbers on children, but we did a study a couple of years back in which we found just children 2 to 5 years of age, nearly 35% of those kids are either overweight or at risk of being overweight. When I start to see that data, it tells me it's something more than an individual problem. It's a societal problem. It's a population problem. And so we need to begin to address it on multiple levels. We need to look at how our food systems are made up, how our communities are designed, what kind of activity they're getting in the school setting, what kind of activity they're getting at home, what are some of those factors that are beginning to make people eat less nutritious food or less healthy food, what are some of the factors that are deterring people from getting out and being physically active. There's a lot of research on this, and there are a lot of recommendations on policy actions that we can take, and we just need to begin to implement some of those, see if we can't stem that tide of the epidemic.
Tom Newton, as you've heard, we're asking our listeners to think back to PE from when they were in a school. Tell us a memorable moment or an observation. We'd like to go to our phones now. Helen is joining us from Ames. Good afternoon, Helen. Welcome
Hi.
To the Exchange. Hi.
Well, thanks for addressing this issue. First, before I tell you my memories, I do think that a lot is related to huge, huge systems like our corn production and cheap corn and the overuse of high fructose corn syrup. But having said that,
I'm going out back.
Somebody just came to get rhubarb, sorry. Anyway, in the 1960s, I majored in physical education for women at Iowa State, and there were two programs. There was the men's program with a huge emphasis on sports, and a women's program which was much more holistic, including courses like dance. And when I listen to programs where physical education is discussed, I think it's wrong to generalize that the past was all emphasis on sports and dodgeball. There were plenty of men and women having programs that were holistic, introducing things like dance or fitness or that kind of thing. And so the good things that are happening now, I think, are an extension of the good things that were happening then, and it's not just a modern thing to be concerned about physical education as a curriculum and holistic education.
Mm-hmm. So things have changed. You've observed children today. So how do you account for the obesity epidemic and the way to get back, Helen?
Well, it's kind of interesting that right now I'm not in physical education. I haven't been for ages, and I'm not around youth a lot, but I am active, like in Practical Farmers of Iowa, and where I've seen the film, the documentary King Corn and the documentary Food, Inc., and we have government policy that subsidizes agriculture in a way that makes it so that high fructose corn syrup, for instance, is very cheap, and so it's easy to make supersized drinks and different things like that. So
let's pick up on that point, if we could, Tom Newton. How much is our agricultural policy part of our problem with nutrition and fitness in this country, do you think?
Well, I'm sure that it plays a part. Obviously, we need to get back to where people are more focused on eating fresh fruits and vegetables. They aren't eating as much carry-out food from fast food establishments. We need to get back to a point to where parents and their children sit down and have a dinner at night, and parents are aware of what their kids are eating on a regular basis, as well as having those kids kind of hold the parents in check as to what kinds of foods are offered at the nightly dinner table. I think, surely there's a part to play for the federal government to begin to look at availability of fresh fruits and vegetables. We know that they're, even in states like Iowa, the breadbasket of the world, we have some food deserts. And when I say food deserts, I'm saying not as much access to fresh fruits and vegetables. Mm-hmm. And we really need to begin to look at that because diet plays a huge part in this whole problem.
Talking about access to good food in our schools, can you highlight some of the changes in some of the schools that they will not be able to have vending machines or serve for the next school year? What are the changes there with the vending machines?
A couple of years ago, the Iowa legislature passed the Healthy Kids Act, and the governor signed it into law. And really, it sets up some minimum standards for nutrition. For meals that are available to kids. I know the federal government is looking at this as well. In Iowa, we had already basically set up a policy that would take the junk food out of schools. That's something the Iowa legislature and the governor felt very strongly about a couple of years ago, so we may be ahead of much of the rest of the country as it relates to this. So I'm not sure that some of the actions they're taking now at the federal level will have as big of an impact on us here in Iowa. But, we recognize kids are spending a lot of time at school, and they're getting in some cases, their main meals are provided at the schools. And when they're providing those main meals for those kids, we need to make sure that those that are of high nutritional value and that they aren't just going to the vending machines and getting garbage food tide themselves between meals. So,
Do we have any evidence that they're actually eating healthier because we put different things in the vending machines? Of course, anyone can bring the junk food in a backpack.
Sure. Well, I think there is some evidence out there in schools that have converted their converted their vending machines to healthier foods, offering milk, offering apples, bananas, those types of things. They're making it work, and kids are eating those vegetables and fruits when available. So if you make it available to kids, they will eat it.
Okay, your thoughts on fitness, nutrition, and health in Iowa, 1-866-780-9100, or The Exchange at iowapublicradio.org. Greg is joining us from Cedar Rapids. Good afternoon, Greg. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. There's three variables in this equation that also need to be considered, and that is parents are scared to death to let their kids out of the house because of predators. The second thing is that we have a two-paycheck economy, and the third thing is that schools, a lot of them aren't located in the neighborhoods anymore, and the kids have to be transported, and so it just adds to this whole dilemma of kids not getting enough exercise.
Interesting observations, reactions from you, Tom Newton, to those three points that are made.
Great points. The old adage that probably our parents told us about having to walk 5 miles to school uphill to there and back. I'm not sure how that exactly happened, but that doesn't hold true anymore. Most kids are bused to school, and there are definitely communities across Iowa in which it may not be safe for kids to get out and play. I was fortunate enough to grow up in a rural community in Iowa, and I can remember all summer long we were out in the backyard playing and running around with kids in the neighborhood, and that's not necessarily the case anymore. And so somehow we need to get back to that, or at least we need to modify our current policies in order to allow that to happen in some way, where kids have more time to play, safe places to play, and get them physically active.
Thank you so much, Greg, from Cedar Rapids. Let's go to Mike in Coralville, 1-866-780-9100. Good afternoon, Mike.
Hi. Hey, I just wanted to add, there's a county extension program called Pick a Better Snack that's in some of the schools. It's not available in all of them, but it goes through the primary grades and teaches children to make healthy choices other than the fast food, junk food type items that are out there. I guess I'm concerned about possible budget cuts in the future and districts looking at cutting programs and reducing the amount of time. And in physical education, I'd be concerned in terms of the amount of time that children get per week, if that would be reduced.
Let's ask Tom Newton that. What does that look like in our schools? And if the Iowa Department of Public Health has anything to do with that, when a school district is facing budgetary constraints and they're looking for places to cut, sometimes they do land in the physical education department.
That's correct. Each individual school district has latitude on what that budget looks like. But there is a policy in place. The Healthy Kids Act, which was passed a couple of years ago, placed some minimum times in which kids need to be active on a daily basis. But it provides those schools with the flexibility in how to meet that. So it could be in an organized classroom through a physical education course. It could be through before and after school programs, over lunch hour programs. Each school district has to sit down and figure out how they're going to get those kids physically active. Obviously, if they have it in a organized classroom setting, a physical education course, much as you heard from the PE instructor from Grundy Center, they can monitor those kids, make sure they're getting their heart rates up, and begin to educate them on the importance of proper physical activity, or at least strenuous physical activity that's going to get their heart rate up and help improve their conditioning. But if it's in a setting in which they're just out walking around the school building or walking in the gym or doing those types of things, although they may not be getting their heart rate up, like we'd like to see, they're still moving. And I think just getting some kids moving is probably a good step forward. We can begin to address some further conditioning at a later date. Right now, we just need to get those kids moving.
Talking about physical education in schools, fitness and nutrition with Tom Newton, director of the Iowa Department of Public Health. And let's go back to the phones. Rebecca in Coralville, good afternoon. Welcome to our program, Rebecca.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. And I continue that thought. I just wanted to mention that we should really be careful about not replacing recess with physical education. I think working together supplementally, they can have a really great relationship, and that's obviously going to affect the ABC levels and the levels of the activity in the kids. And personally, when I was in grade school and things, I was never good in sports that involved balls like soccer and baseball and things like that, and I was told I would never be an athlete. But when I was introduced to things like dance and gymnastics, I really excelled. And so now, I'm a dance major at Iowa. So, I mean, I think there's a need for not only women in general, but for just the people that want to pursue the different opportunities, whether they be sports or whether they be dance or whether they be something entirely different, too, even in the recess atmosphere.
Interesting observation, Rebecca. Thank you very much. Tom Newton, we have sort of rethought physical education. Can you think of what we've learned over the past couple of generations about it sounds like we need, according to Rebecca, to broaden our idea of physical education?
I think we need to definitely broaden our idea of education. You're starting to see that. And I think it's probably – there were some trailblazers, as was mentioned by a caller earlier today. But, you know, I think, as was mentioned from the instructor from Grundy Center, so many instructors got caught up in producing athletes as opposed to setting people up for success on a lifelong basis, giving them the tools and knowledge to be physically active over the course of their life as opposed to just when they can compete in athletic games. So we need to really begin to look at how people can link their hobbies to physical activity, how they can just remain physically active over that time. So many people through their 20s, 30s, they can still remain physically active, but as they stop playing some organized sports, they begin on the downhill slide. Well, we need to give them the tools and the understanding of the importance of being physically active throughout the course of your life if you're going to prevent chronic disease, if you're going to prevent overweight and obesity. So we really need to rethink PE in that way and give people that education.
Maria is in Iowa City. Welcome to our conversation, Maria.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I kind of have two comments. One is about what the idea of physical activity is in schools. I know when I was younger, we had gym or PE every other day, and we took everything from roller skating to volleyball, and then were actually tested over what we learned about the rules of each sport. So I think some schools, as you're saying, have a broad idea of what physical activity consists of. And then I'd also like to hear your thoughts on how I know some school districts in Illinois have implemented a system where they have mandatory physical education or recess through upper grade levels through junior high and middle school, which then has made their academic test scores higher, some of the highest test scores in this country, with school districts that have implemented more physical education, showing that when kids can have a chance to be active, they can settle in and actually learn better. So I just wanted to hear any comments about that, and I'll take those, listen to those comments off the air.
Thank you, Maria. What about the Illinois question? Tom Newton, are you aware of that?
I assume, I know there's at least one school district in Illinois that has a PE for life program, as does Kansas City, Kansas City, Missouri, as well as the Grundy Center program. I think there's intent to spread that out to more schools here in Iowa. I think your caller makes a great point that kids who have burned off some of that steam have the potential to be greater learners. They don't have as many distractions. It may help them focus in the classroom. And I think that there is some merit to really beginning to look at that and teasing out some of that data from those schools. Not only do they become better learners, I think you're probably going to see truancy. I think you're going to see the times in which kids act up in the classroom because maybe they have some pent-up energy. You may see some diminishment of that as well, creating a better learning experience not only for those individuals but also others in the classrooms. If you don't have that kind of distraction going on, it should set up a better environment for everyone to learn.
Now, we have just a couple minutes left. The Iowa Department of Public Health has a program, some initiatives to improve fitness. Would you share those with us?
We have a number of things going on. We have a Governor's Council on Physical Activity and Nutrition. It sets up a Governor's Challenge for schools to participate, really working closely with the Iowa Sports Foundation and Live Healthy Iowa Kids, adopting that program that they have and really trying to disperse it across the state. We're also working with work sites and communities. We have a state physical activity and nutrition plan called Iowans Fit for Life. This is a grant funded by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and Iowa is one of 23 states to have such a program, and it's been huge, huge success. Really allows us to work with communities, look at community design, talk to them about the importance of sidewalks, talk to them about the importance of bike lanes, talk to them about the importance of having a farmer's market in which people can go and buy fresh fruits and vegetables. That's another program. And we've done some community wellness grants around that, some funding coming from the state level, some from the community level, and we've also had an assist by Senator Harkin with some congressionally directed funds. Really allows us to put out a request for proposal for communities to evaluate and determine what needs to happen within within their community to get people more physically active, to give them better access to fresh fruits and vegetables. Some schools have applied just to give more access to fresh fruits and vegetables to students during the day, school day. Other communities have built walking paths and bike trails, and it's been wildly successful. And I think if you go out to those communities that have received these funds, you're going to see a much more physically active community than one who maybe hasn't sat down and thought about how to get people more active.
Tom Newton, Director of the Iowa Department of Public Health, thank you for joining us. What will you be doing later today when you step out of the studio there in Des Moines for your physical activity?
You know, I'll probably try and find some time this afternoon to go for a little jog.
Go for a little jog. Is that your is it raining there or not?
It isn't raining here right now. If it's raining, then I'll probably find some treadmill time.
Okay, I'm in a windowless studio, so you'll have to forgive me. I haven't seen the weather for about an hour. Thank you, Tom Newton, for joining us.
It's been my pleasure, Ben. Thank you.
The Exchange is produced by Alex Hoyer, Catherine Perkins, and Jeff Schmidt, our producer assistant today. Christoph Mai, technical support from Dennis Reese. Podcasting and on-demand audio of The Exchange available at iowapublicradio.org. Our theme music was composed and performed by Dan Knight. The Exchange is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. Thanks to all our callers. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.